The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
Now it's time to take a look at some of the other stories making the news this week with our Friday panel. And I'm delighted to say that Lorcan Nine from the Communications Clinic joins us. So too does my old pal Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist at Maynooth Counselling. I hope you are both very well on this Friday evening. Helen, we might start with you and the what's becoming a very confusing and, in my opinion, ridiculous conversation around what is essential items for retail and what is non-essential. And this is coming off the back of a fairly abysmal performance by Minister Damien English on TV last night.
Yeah, I have to say I'm thoroughly confused by this. You know, it was basically people are debating whether or not for some reason clothes are considered essential, which I personally, I feel like everyone I talk to thinks they're essential, but only the government are saying they're not. You know, and basically Miriam made the point fairly that she can go and buy a bottle of wine, but she can't buy a pair of socks for her child. Although, no, her kid's probably grown up. But you know what I mean? I'm toilet training a toddler at the minute and I need a few bits to stop her crapping on the floor. And I can't go and buy them because that's not considered an essential item. And I know everyone will have exceptions and we'll all have examples of how we're hard done by these things. And it's all for the greater good. And I get all that. But why didn't we have this row the first time when shops were limited, but we could still go buy
clothes,
toys?
Sure, all we were buying at that stage was toilet paper.
I know, because we went insane. And now we're all trying to buy toys and suddenly we're told they're not essential as well. Like kids' clothes, kids' toys. I don't know. I don't understand it. And him to sit there, plain face, saying clothes are not essential and socks are clothes. I just think it's kind of laughable and it'll make people not follow the rules. Yeah. I don't think, because people are just thinking this is so silly.
Let's get a flavour of his exchanges with Miriam O'Callaghan last night on Primetime. This is Minister Damien English in action on the show.
All those goods can still be purchased.
But Minister, are socks for your child essential?
Yeah, clothes are not essential. But again, there's still, of course, in all situations, there's a bit of common sense. And the Gardaí have been very...
That seems mad, Minister.
Well, again, what's essential, what's not essential, OK? The Gardaí are reinforcing the public health message. They're helping us and do our job. They're engaging with the retail sector. They're encouraging them to do the right thing. And to be fair, I recognise the retail sector, they're doing their best to get it right. And if changes are needed, there's been a change.
Just before I bring Mike McMurray, so I can buy a bottle of wine, but I cannot buy socks for my son.
Socks come under clothes, Miriam. And Miriam,
most people regard them as essential.
We can go through, and Vincent regards the book as essential. So everybody has their own view on this.
The reaction to this, Lorcan Nine, has been incredible. We had the Social Democrats TD Gary Gannon coming out saying that the minister had let himself down on the show last night. I mean, surely to God, sense should prevail. He came across as very adversarial on the show last night as well, very confrontational, very defensive. You know, surely if you're going to bring everybody along on this journey together, you have to be fair and you have to be reasonable.
I think across the board, that's one of the things that I think we could all, on all sides of every issue, just calm down a small little bit on this and show a little bit of flexibility on all sides, where if as the rules come in and if as the restrictions come in, you find things that, look, we need a little bit of flexibility here. You know, there's a lot of people talking about, you know, buying clothes for a new child and that after you need to consistently be able to buy clothes and buy clothes last minute, that there should be flexibility shown as we see, look, some of these rules aren't working. But I think, and the point was made there, that if you're looking at the first lockdown, the first time we were into this, there was outrage on the other side when some of the large supermarkets were selling clothes and smaller businesses weren't allowed to be open. So I think we're taking the word essential and non-essential here outside the context of essential within a 6-week lockdown in the middle of a pandemic. Nobody's saying that clothes aren't essential. I think we all realise that clothes are. It's, are they essential enough that you need to buy new clothes so that we can open up every clothes shop in the country? Because that's what you'd be talking about. But I agree. I think an element of flexibility when you realise we put in these restrictions, look, there's actually one or two things we now need to change, be flexible on. We should be open to letting everybody be flexible in that sense. But I also think that people are taking the essential and the non-essential literally rather than in the lockdown environment.
Yeah. Well, talk about taking the mick, Helen. To illustrate the point, I think it was over in Wales, some dude rocked up at a shop in his jocks. And when he was asked what in the name of God he was doing, he was refused entry. He said that he thought that clothes were not essential. I suppose that's a drastic example of how ludicrous this all is.
But is it what people are going to start doing just to kind of, you know, poke fun at the situation?
God, I hope not.
I saw Joe.ie did a parody video where the minister was sitting there and it was a tight shot and he was saying the clothes weren't essential. And then it went out to a wide shot and he'd no trousers on and no socks on. And I thought, that's what's going to happen. People are going to refuse to wear trousers because they're like, I couldn't buy any, so I don't have any that fit me. So sorry, you know, that I'm turning up to work nude today. But, you know, I guess it's tricky because, you know, where do you draw the line that a clothes shop has to stay closed, but a supermarket that sells clothes is allowed to sell those? Is that unfair on the clothes shop? You know, and that's what's hard with all these restrictions, is that the goalposts keep moving, you know, and we find some other strange anomaly that's come up and we're like, well, what do we do about this? Well, we have to keep the rules as they are. So we have to not sell you children's clothes for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, it's just it's really confusing.
And I know that we're poking a little bit of fun at the whole situation. But I mean, it is serious, and it is very serious for retailers that are really struggling at the moment. But what are we going to do? Do you think we have to go down the road of actually listing out what is an essential item and what's a non-essential item?
Maybe, but I find it all confusing because this will be the rule for 6 weeks and then it'll change again in the run up to Christmas. And 3 weeks ago it was different, and 4 weeks before that it was different as well. You know, so when your man was on telly last night saying it's not confusing, I have to disagree. That as someone who's trying to pay attention as a journalist and also as a human and as a parent, I'm finding it really confusing, and the constant changing, you know. And as my colleague said there, if there's a bit of flexibility, that'd be so helpful, because you know, it is hard to take it all in and get used to, you know, if I didn't think to buy a proper potty before the lockdown started, now what am I going to do? I have to wait a week for one to arrive, you know, by ordering online, which I know is a luxury and such a first world problem. And I get all that. But I guess it's just inconvenient for people if they didn't think to get everything sorted before the latest lockdown kind of came in.
Yeah. Lorcan, Aldi and Lidl stopped the sale of their middle aisle products. They were deemed non-essential. They initially refused to, but the government threatened to clamp down on retailers, and that then sparked a conversation amongst smaller retailers who'd been forced to close their doors, that they were going to reopen. But the Taoiseach came out, and the Taoiseach, sorry, came out, Leo Varadkar, he came out and he said that there would be a Garda clampdown if smaller retailers did that. So that was a good move, I suppose, by Aldi and Lidl, because I don't know about you, but I did see online people coming out of some of these stores, not necessarily Aldi and Lidl, but coming out with homes for hedgehogs, which, you know, unless there's a housing crisis for hedgehogs around the country, I would argue that they are not essential items.
Yeah, well, look, I think one of the things that I think that across all of this is that, look, it is a pandemic, and pandemics are going to inconvenience people in a lot of different ways. And I think, you know, we should be used to that at this point. Look, I think Aldi and Lidl made the right call. I think the both fairness and the appearance of fairness throughout this is really, really important, has been important from the very, very start. If people start looking at things and they seem unequal or unequal, that's when people are going to start to get very, very frustrated. So you have to make sure that it's not just based on, look, how does the disease spread, etc., but also, is this as fair as it can be in a very difficult environment across society on all levels? Because if you start seeing the big players being able to get away with things, big players just because they are bigger, just because they also sell food, and small businesses can't, that's going to lead to a lot of anger. And then that is what is actually going to lead to rule breaking, or people pushing back against the restrictions. So the appearance of fairness is important. And I know that we can keep drawing comparisons. We can start talking about how, geez, why you off licenses open when I can't buy clothes, but they have to draw the line at some point, and that appearance of fairness is important. And I do think that that's what's been attempted to happen, and why I think they were right to threaten the clampdown in this case.
Helen, Kim Kardashian West has become the subject of a meme after tweeting about her birthday celebrations on Private Island. She has also come under fire from the likes of Peter Frampton and the one and only Piers Morgan. Can you tell us why?
Well, the reason for this, and I have to say it passed me by, I didn't know what the meme was all about for about 2 days, but she posted pictures of her 40th birthday on a private island on Twitter, saying that guests had quarantined for 2 weeks before traveling to the island, you know, and saying, you know, after 2 weeks of multiple health screens and asking everyone to quarantine, I surprised my closest friends with a trip to a private island where we could pretend things were normal just for a brief moment. And it's gone down really badly. You know, there's photos of them all partying on this island and lots of bikini shots and, you know, basically having a brilliant time, you know, and she's acting as if she's hard done by because her friends had to quarantine for a couple of weeks to come and celebrate with her, you know, in this lavish private island resort. You know, it's gone down really badly because people think it's obviously hugely insensitive. You know, people are dying. People have lost their jobs. There's a lot of poverty. you know, economies are being ruined at the moment because of this pandemic. And she thinks it's inconvenient that her friends had to quarantine for 2 weeks before they came to her party. But lots of memes have then sprung up of people showing their own kind of safe environment or, you know, a bit of normality for a brief moment. You know, things from films. I saw someone share photos from, do you remember the fire festival that went horribly wrong?
Oh, yeah.
And didn't work out on that in the Caribbean. You know, stuff from Castaway, Jurassic Park, Mamma Mia. I saw a friend of mine posted a picture of his car with his two young children, and then he had another baby and they ended up having twins. So he had four children like squished in the car. And I think people think she's an idiot. I happen to be one of those people. I'm not a fan of hers at all. I don't understand the interest in her or the hype around her. And I feel like this is the perfect example of someone who just isn't really in touch with real life.
Yeah.
You know, one doctor replied saying, I spent my birthday weekend in the ER caring for patients with COVID-19. You know, and you're like, does that not put a context around what people are having to do around this pandemic? And you think it's, I don't know what you think, it's unfair, or you think you're hard done by because your friends had to quarantine on their way to your private island party.
Yeah.
You know?
Lorcan, what are your thoughts? You know, is this a reality TV star that is completely out of touch with reality, or is she entitled to do what she likes? It was her 40th birthday. If she, you know, subjected her friends to these 2 weeks of quarantine, didn't break any rules, is she entitled to do what she likes?
Look, I just, it's totally unsurprising. An incredibly, incredibly wealthy person who's lived their whole life in the public eye and lives their life, you know, on platforms, on social media, that is effectively their job. It's only unsurprising that they would be a little bit out of touch with reality and would post things like this and would want the reaction that we got. I think people tend to be harder on the Kardashians because there's a feeling that they didn't earn the fame and the wealth that they have. People don't like how they pull their wealth together and that they didn't work hard enough for it. Look, I think there are a lot of very wealthy people and a lot of them didn't work hard for the wealth that they have. What I find more interesting about this is there was an interview with her sister who was on the island and was at the 40 birthday party with Ellen DeGeneres talking about how everybody on the island said, you have saved our business by coming here. You have helped us pay the bills. And I find it really interesting how people really do the mental gymnastics that's needed to make themselves the hero in their own story. You know, like that all of them think that they deserve this. They work really hard. We're actually helping people. And look, we're giving light and love and hope to people in their lives rather than it being, you know, a relatively morally bankrupt thing to do in the middle of a pandemic, whatever, about going off the island to be posting about it and to make people, you know, feel jealous about their own lives because doing it's relatively morally bankrupt. But it's interesting how people convince themselves that they're always the hero of every single narrative.
Yeah. Let's talk about Kanye's gift then to Kim Kardashian, Helen. This was very strange. I go so far as to say that it was creepy. We all know Robert Kardashian, her father. He tragically died from cancer in July of 2003. And people remember him as part of the legal team, the dream team, so to speak, that got O.J. Simpson off for the double murder charge that he faced in 1995. Tell us about the gift that Kanye gave Kim.
Well, yeah, along the lines of the private island party and week away or however long they're away for, his gift was a hologram of her father who died, basically wishing her a happy birthday and saying how much he loved her and how great he thinks she is. And I have to say, as much as I dislike her, and I do, I actually thought this was a really nice gift idea. People say it's creepy, but I thought, what a nice idea. Your dad has died a long time ago and here is someone bringing a representation of him to your birthday and saying things. I did think it was a bit funny, you know, what he was saying. He was saying nice things about her and, you know, she's all grown up now and he remembers her as a little girl
well,
and played
hold that
music
thought,
from when
because we do
she
actually
was
have, we do actually have a clip. So hold that thought, Helen, and we'll come back to it. This is Robert Kardashian speaking to Kim from Beyond the Grave.
You're 40 and all grown up. You look beautiful, just like when you were a little girl. I watch over you and your sisters and brother and the kids every day. I am so proud of the woman that you've become, Kimberly, and all that you've accomplished. All of your hard work and all the businesses you have built are incredible. The most beautiful thing that I have witnessed is watching you grow your family. You married the most genius man in the whole world, Kanye West. You are the most amazing mother to your four beautiful children, and they are perfect.
I wonder, did Kanye West script the that particular hologram? What are your thoughts on that, Lorcan? Do you think it's creepy and strange, or do you think it's a lovely tribute and a fitting gift for her 40th birthday?
I think we spend a lot of time, you know, watching things like Westworld and talking about the rise of the machines and AI and things like that. And I think we get a little bit worried about what the world's going to look like when that happens. And then you see all the money they have, and that is the best hologram that they can come up with. I thought the whole thing looked incredibly creepy. I thought he looked like he'd stepped out of a kind of late 90s, early 2000s video game in the graphics that were there. And I just thought that really it shows we have a long way to go before we're going to have a Westworld situation. Look, I'm loads to talk about what Kanye West might have scripted about himself as he came through, given all the issues there. But look, she seemed to like it. The present was for her. Our opinion on it is probably a bit irrelevant.
Yep.
But yeah, I think it looked just strange.
Fair point. Let's move on. Helen, unless I've missed something, you know, we're still in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic, but perhaps somebody should tell Donald Trump, because he has included ending the COVID-19 pandemic in a new list of his accomplishments. What's this about?
This is information or a statement that came out from the White House, listing all of his accomplishments, obviously, in the presidential campaign to get re-elected. And one of them was that he claimed to have ended the COVID-19 pandemic, which is obviously news to every single person in the world, really. I wonder, is he celebrating because he feels he did well in his personal battle, having had the virus a few weeks ago? But the day they put out the statement, 73,000 new cases were confirmed in the US, 985 people died of it. You know, so you couldn't, obviously, it's known that they haven't tackled the virus well. He's been hugely criticised for mismanaging the response to the virus, and hopefully he won't get in as a result of that, but as a result of everything. But they did move to try to clarify that that's not what they really meant, that it was poorly worded, and that their intent was to say that it was their goal to end the virus, which I don't think seems evident based on their policies and their actions so far. I don't know. It's just more crazy stuff from Trump, surely. Is that all it is?
Well, it's an absolutely classic example of fake news, in my opinion. But in Lorcan Nyhan from the Communications Clinic and Helen Vaughan, psychotherapist at Maynooth Counselling, unfortunately, we've run out of time.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.